On this week's episode.
Okay, alright. Let's get something straight here, okay? Voltron is better.
No. Ruby is much better than Voltron.
Voltron is better.
No, Ruby.
Voltron.
Ruby.
Oh, you know what? I got an idea.
What?
You'll see.
Alright then, let's strap in and get ready to go
Beyond the Start Button!
It's UberNerd527 with my partner in crime, the Weiss to my Ruby. That would, of course, be Danny the Ultrasonic Player! Yay!
Woo! And just so you know, I really, really do not like the way a certain person is constantly just charging head-on without thinking of something.
It's alright. Well, anyways...
Kidding.
We want to welcome you to the podcast, the Beyond the Start Button podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about what we're passionate about every month. This is a monthly podcast. We are part of the Arcade Archives Network, a blog that's trying to make kind of a virtual arcade where people can hang out, talk about their favorite, you know, passions, whatnot, talk about video games, maybe high scores, stuff like that. So that's what we're part of, and so this is our flagship podcast here on the Arcade Archives, and today's we got a really great docket on the podcast today. First, before we get into all that, I do want to go ahead and, well, congratulate ourselves, so yay!
Woo!
Our podcast is exactly 1 year old! Woo!
You know, hard to believe that it's actually been 1 year.
Yeah, it's been a whole year since our podcast started. I think we've really grown a lot. I think our podcast has changed and matured and become something different and than what we even originally intended. And I think we're going forward into a right direction. So, what do you think? How do you think about this first year?
It's definitely been interesting.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, it's also been both like a good adventure, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, like with any quest, you know, you learn, you try new things, you fall down, take a few scrapes, but you get back up, learn some new stuff, make some adjustments, you know, like with everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're definitely not the same podcast that we were when we were originally starting out, but that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and we can grow, we can change, we can become new, you know, in fact, just recently I went back and listened to our Switch review, 1 year ago.
Wow.
Because, yeah, it's been a whole year since the Switch has come out. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's,
oh yeah.
My gosh.
So, and this is also our 10th episode, so woohoo!
Woo!
We're making it!
Yeah!
So yeah, 10th episode, very excited. We're gonna continue giving out as much content as possible. Now, one little story about this podcast. This podcast has gone through several different changes in the last month. We decided we wanted to do a best of 2017 and 2018,
mm-hmm.
but then we realized that our podcast was coming out near the end of January. So, like, I'm guessing a lot of people are probably already tired of hearing about last year and they kind of want to talk about this year.
Yes.
So, our podcast today, we're going to be talking about what we're excited for this year. And then afterwards, before we recorded this podcast, we decided to do something a little fun. So, Danny, if you probably heard the podcast before, Danny the Ultrasonic Player and I, Joshua the Uber Nerd, are big fans of two very different but also very similar shows. So Danny is a big fan of Voltron, Legendary Defender, and I am a very big fan of Ruby from Rooster Teeth. Now, both are online shows because you can see Voltron, Legendary Defender on Netflix, and you can see Ruby on Rooster Teeth, YouTube. You can even get it on iTunes, I believe, that you said they sell it on iTunes.
Yes,
okay,
yes, they
cool.
do. They have it under movies, so
yeah.
So they put them all in one collection. It's
so
pretty cool.
We're both fans of it, and we've been bugging each other to watch the shows.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very difficult for me because I don't have internet at home, so I can't watch a lot of stuff on Netflix. However, Ruby is great because I only have to watch Ruby like once a week when it comes out. And so usually I'll just head over to my local fast food restaurant or, you know, whatever that has Wi-Fi, and I'll just watch an episode real quick and then continue on with my day. But for the Netflix show, it's a little more difficult for me to watch Netflix shows. Mr. Danny the Ultrasonic Player bought the entire first season of Voltron Legendary Defender?
The first two seasons are available on iTunes as of now.
Okay.
So,
So he bought the first two seasons, and he actually came over with this idea, it was his idea, actually, of what we'll do is I'll watch a few episodes of Ruby, and you watch an episode of, cause the first season is shorter than Voltron.
Yeah.
So I watch an episode of Voltron. He watched an episode of Ruby, and we kind of flipped back and forth, and then we're like, you know what? It'd be really cool to talk about this. So later on, near the end of the podcast, we're going to talk about kind of our thought, first impressions of both shows, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought of it. I think this would be an interesting podcast. So let's get right to it.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So, starting off, 2018, okay? We just recently had a Nintendo Direct Mini that showed us a whole bunch of games that will be coming out in the next few months. Now, obviously, a lot of people were angry because they didn't announce anything huge. I think the only thing even remotely big that they announced was probably Dark Souls coming out for the Wii U.
Yes.
I mean, for the Switch.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were angry because a lot of the games that they were talking about were just ports of Wii U titles. Honestly, I don't see the hate. I mean, why would you see the hate for this? I mean, obviously, it's a re-release of a game that's already previously come out. Okay, granted. But, you know, they're improving the game. They're, you know, upping it a little bit. They're putting it on the Switch. It's going to be portable now. Why would you even complain about this? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I can kind of see why, but for me personally, I don't have a problem with that. But maybe it's because for me, in my case, because I basically had a bed bug problem at my house. Basically, you know, that really threw a monkey wrench into me playing a lot of these games on the Wii U. And the fact that a lot of them now are making their way to the Switch is fine for me because, for one thing, I'm getting a second chance of being able to play these games. And in this case, it's also, I can take it with me on the go. Granted, that's kind of tricky, but still, nevertheless, I mean, for anybody who may have been weary, also, yeah, for anybody who may have been weary about getting a Wii U when it came out, this is a perfect chance to kind of, you know, in a way, make up for lost time and get a chance to see a lot of the gems that did come out on the system. Because there were definitely a lot of good games that stood out for
it. Right, and let's talk about two games that we were both interested in. Number one, we have to talk about it because I love this game. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition for the Switch. It's going to come out, have all the DLC, everything that came out for the Wii U version. I think the only thing they really announced was the fact that they're adding the Breath of the Wild skins for both Zelda and Link.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't mind it at all.
I don't mind rebuying this game.
Me neither.
It's going to be really cool on Switch. I was a huge fan of the Wii U game, I even bought the 3DS version too, so I'm excited to play this game finally on my Switch. That was not a surprise to me, to be honest. I knew, like, after they had brought out games like Mario Kart 8 and Pokken Tournament, we don't really count Splatoon 2 because technically Splatoon 2 was an upgrade, even though they had a lot of similar elements. It wasn't the same game, so we can't really say that. Yeah. But, you know, there is a lot of games. I'm not going to be surprised if Mario Maker makes it onto the system.
Me neither.
Or, you know, some other games that were really, really good for the Wii U.
Yeah.
And I feel that this will give those games that really got a bad rap because nobody really liked the system, which honestly, in my opinion, was a very underrated system.
Yeah.
That they get a second life, you know, a second chance at life.
Exactly.
Another one we were talking about is Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Ooh, cool.
Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is coming out. Again, it is, you know, just your typical Donkey Kong Country game.
Yeah, which is fine by me.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine, made by the same guys who did Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Mm-hmm.
This time, though, instead of just Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong, you can also play Dexy Kong, Cranky Kong,
oh,
and
boy.
for the Switch version, you get to play Funky Kong.
I was like, all right, dude.
Bro.
Let's get funky here. Yeah. So, hey, dude, come on. Grab a seat. Have some pizza. Listen to some cool music. It'll be far out.
Bro.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really cool. I did play Tropical Freeze on the Wii U. It was a great game. Oh. A lot of people really loved it. It didn't get a lot of attention because of the Wii U and because it kind of came out near the end of the Wii U's life cycle. But I feel that it was a great game. I can't wait to play through it again. And this time it has co-op. So you'll be able to play multiplayer co-op. So that's pretty cool. And then one of the... they announced a whole bunch of stuff. We're not going to go over each and every one of them. We're just going to go over the ones that we were interested in. The other one was a new game, not a Wii U port, called Kirby Star Allies, which is going to be your traditional Kirby game.
All right.
But four-player co-op, so that's going to be cool.
Wow.
I'm very excited about that. The thing I love about Kirby is that really, I guess their mantra with that game is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about Kirby is that, because again, I have Kirby's Dream Land 1 and 2 on my downloaded on my 3DS.
Right.
And I have Kirby's Adventure on my downloaded on my Wii U. And what I like about those games is that it's simplistic. Anybody can pick it up, play it, and just have a great big time with it. And come on, I mean, Kirby's ability, just to, inhale an opponent, copy their powers, and just, come on, who doesn't want to do that? And plus, again, just Kirby is this adorable little guy that everybody loves. I mean, good grief, how many people, adults, mind you, even not just kids, but adults, are walking around with Kirby t-shirts? I mean, come on, that is cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for Star Allies. I think it's going to be really exciting to play. I think it's really cool that it's four-player co-op. It's very reminiscent of Kirby's Ultra Star. What was it on the Super NES? Kirby's All Stars, where it had all the different games in it, and that was a co-op game. So I can't wait to see what the four-player co-op game does for Kirby. Yeah. I really liked Kirby Planet Robobot. That was the latest Kirby game that came out on the 3DS. And then, of course, we had Kirby's Battle Rumble, that just came out recently, which is like a four-player beat-em-up with Kirby. I wasn't really interested in that game because they had put it in, I believe, Triple Deluxe. They put a little demo for it.
Yeah.
It was cool, just not... It was not. So
yeah, for me personally, if I want to see Kirby fight, I'll just throw on Smash Brothers. That's how I roll.
So, but I'm excited about Star Allies. Okay, so after the mini direct came out and people were complaining, because that's the internet. Nintendo actually shocked all of us by announcing something brand spanking new. We didn't know it was coming. I did think that one person's tweet was really funny when they said, because Nintendo, the only clue that they gave us was that it was something for kids and the young at heart.
Yeah.
And someone tweeted that, and then the internet, oh, the virtual console must be coming. No, yeah. No.
Talk about trolling the audience.
Yeah, oh gosh. Internet, why are you thinking this? So, Labo. Nintendo Labo. For those of you who don't know what the Nintendo Labo is, think of this, okay? Think of being able to use your Switch with, your Legos.
Basically.
But instead of Legos, they're cardboard.
Yeah.
And you get to build all kinds of neat things. One example is you get to build a little piano. And then
I saw that.
And then you get to place the screen right on top of the piano, and then the Joy-Cons on either side of the piano, and then you can literally play the piano, which is really, really cool. I really like that. And then, of course, you have other things, like you can do robots, you can do a little dollhouse, you can turn lights on and off inside the house. And the one more expensive set is you get to actually make your own mech suit. And you get to, it's like a little backpack, and it has like little strings that go to your arms and your legs, and you can control the mech on the screen. You
know, like I can see some cosplayers already utilizing that to its full advantage.
So I'm kind of excited about this. However, I will not be purchasing this at all, as far as I'm concerned right now. And the reason being is because, not that I don't think it's cool or awesome or whatever, but also because I'm an adult, yeah. sort of.
And, yeah.
I don't really have a whole lot of time to dedicate to something like that. And I would absolutely love, like, if I was a kid and I didn't have bills or money to, you know, or rent to pay or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think I would really enjoy this toy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I like the concept. And also, again, it is kind of like combining Nintendo with Lego.
Right.
Because, and I think I had said this in a previous podcast, but there was a section of Legos. I mean, granted, you had your basic, you know, your usual Legos, and even a section for younger kids called the Duplos. But there was a section, there were two other, I guess you can call them, categories called Lego Technic and Lego Model Team.
Right.
And those were geared specifically towards a more older crowd.
Right.
Now, what I find interesting about the Nintendo Labo is because of how it's set up, it really does allow kids and even their adult and even their parents to kind of like really get together and kind of like, oh yeah, let's do this. Or even it allows, just kids in general to kind of, you know, come up with their own kind of crazy, gadget and so forth. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if as time goes by, you know, we see people putting up stuff on YouTube of different models that they come up with from the Nintendo Labos.
Right.
Now, like you, it's not really my cup of tea.
Right.
However, though, that's not to say that I'm against it, because I actually do like the concept.
Oh, yeah. The concept is phenomenal.
And I could easily see a lot of people from all walks of life coming up with different ideas and looking at it. Even cosplayers going, like you said.
Right.
Because the expensive one, yeah, that would allow you to become your own mech. But I can already imagine some cosplayers out there probably looking at this and going, you know what? I think I could probably come up with something.
And a couple days ago, I actually listened to the new Nintendo Power, and they were talking about the Labo a little bit more, and you'll be able to customize this as well.
Oh boy, here we go. Yep.
So people will be able to do customizations and mods and all kinds of different things. So I'm interested to see what people do. I really think this is even a step up from the Amiibos, you know, because the Amiibos are great and I love them. And
yeah, me
believe
too.
Me, I have a huge collection of them.
Yeah,
as you
I can see them.
Yeah, we can see them from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
You know, I feel this is a step up because you get to actually interact with what you get. And
yeah.
This kind of is a new level for the Toys to Life games.
Yeah, yeah, it really does.
It really breathes life into this a little bit more. And I think that this is going to be really, really cool. And
yeah.
I mean, my first, after the video was done, after I watched the announcement video, I told Raygun, the founder of our blog.
Yep.
The Godfather. I said, yep. Well, you ain't gonna see Xbox or a PlayStation do anything like that.
No. And again, the cool thing about it is, like I said, the entry level, or kind of like the learning curve, quote unquote, is very, very basic. Yeah. And I can see, just parents and kids just doing, coming up with crazy things.
But the biggest interesting thing about it is that it literally integrates your system.
Yes.
Like, everything that you build integrates the system into it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, the fishing lure and the, you know, all the different stuff that you can get for it. I know I just made a joke out of it, but, like, you can't really do that with your PlayStation 4 or your Xbox.
No.
Because they're not a portable system. But because the Switch is what it is, there is a lot of opportunity to do all kinds of very unique things with the Labo. So I'm very, very excited to see what happens. Will I be purchasing it? No, I will not be purchasing it. But I think it's very, very neat, and I'm very excited to see what the community does with it. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the future. So that's the Nintendo Labo, and that will be coming out later this year. Now let's talk about, we didn't really get any comics or anime that we're looking forward to, or any manga that we're looking forward to. Although we will be talking about a manga here in just a moment. I'm doing the manga review. in just a little bit. But we do want to talk about movies. We're going to talk about four specific movies. We're going to talk about them fairly quickly because I want to get to our main topic here.
Yep.
So first, let's talk about Black Panther. We got three Marvel movies coming out this year.
Yep.
We got Black Panther. Ones. We got Avengers, Infinity War, and then we've got Ant-Man and Wasp, which is the sequel to Ant-Man. So Black Panther, let's start with that. I'm very excited for Black Panther. I know nothing about Black Panther.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I know a little bit, but not too much. But I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah.
I really
like the actor.
Chadwick Boseman. Yes, yeah.
He showed up in Civil War. He was awesome. I love him.
Yeah.
So I think he is definitely strong enough to. To be the main, star of this movie.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that, like I said, I don't know that much about Black Panther. What I do know is that he is the king of his own country, Wakanda. Right. And I know that his country also contains vast reserves of vibranium, which, of course, is the exact same material that Captain America's shield is made out of.
Right.
And it just so happens that his Black Panther costume is made up of exactly that same material. Everything. Right. And not only that, but T'Challa is also not only the king, and not only a superhero, but he is also one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe, it turns out. His intelligence is right up there with Reed Richards, Tony Stark's, Peter Parker's, just that level of intellect.
Wow.
The character's got a lot of different, he's got a lot of different facets, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And the cast and director, Ryan Coogler, have definitely talked about this too at length. But it definitely introduces the audience to a whole new section of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In a way that we haven't seen before. Now, okay. Of course, granted, the diehard Black Panther fans, you know, you guys are already familiar with it, but for those of us who are not, it's really a great introduction, and it takes us in. From what I've seen from the trailer, I'm sold. You know, just everything about it, everything, just the way it's set up, the way it brings you in, you can't help but be enthralled, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how all this is gonna lead up to the next big film that of course everybody knows.
Yeah. Avengers Infinity War.
Yep, that's
now,
right.
This is going to be a two-part movie, and I'm excited to see the second part.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the first part. Apparently, according to rumors, and please, this may be unfounded, but apparently in one scene of the movie there's going to be 40 different superheroes, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. This is like it's. But you know what? I don't mind it because considering the ultimate threat that they are going to be going up against, this is not something you can just have a team of six or seven. No, right. You pretty much have got to bring in everybody.
Right. And I'm really excited because this movie marks the 10th anniversary of Marvel movies.
Yes, yes, it does.
So I really can't wait to see what they have done to, like, bring all these heroes that we've been watching since the beginning, starting with Iron Man and going now all the way up to, I think the last one was Thor Ragnarok,
yeah, it was.
So, you know, seeing all these characters now interact and being able to now see characters who have never interacted and you never thought you'd see on screen together.
Yeah. I know. Oh,
now
my gosh.
Now you finally get to see them together. And
yeah.
I'm super, super excited. I think the trailer for Infinity War got me super psyched. I love that it's going to be very difficult, and I don't envy the director. To balance a story with a lot of different characters and a lot of different stories, especially very beloved characters like Spider-Man, like Iron Man, like Thor, like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know it's
going to be something very daunting.
Yeah, but I don't know. But from what I've my understanding, based on all the actors and how they've carried themselves. I think they all pretty much get a sense that this is something really big, and they all have to try and they all know what they have to do.
Right.
And even Tom Holland, you know, who of course is obviously the new kid on the block, you know. But again, I mean, obviously everybody loves him, and even the cast themselves say that they were glad that, you know, that they were able to bring Spidey in there. And even Robert Downey Jr. himself had said that growing up, he too was a Spidey fan.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, so just, but just, I mean, again, this is like, there really are no words to describe what we're probably going to end up seeing in this coming May. Because right. because this is something we have only seen in the comics.
Right.
And of course in animation.
Right.
But never really on this big of a level.
Right.
But given how well the Russo brothers have been able given how they've been able to do with their films, particularly Captain America Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. and of course Civil War, honestly, the only way to go is up. Because, right. I say let's just raise the bar to the point to where now, okay, to where it's almost going to be unreachable, you know,
right. now, after this. Ironically, this movie actually was under my radar for a very long time, and it really didn't dawn on me this movie was even coming out until I saw a tweet from Marvel Studios talking about it, which is, again, very ironic. So,
is it the what they call the Avengers Infinity War first look, where they had that, where it started with that scene of... With RDJ, Tom Holland, and Chris Pratt talking, or was it something?
Oh, no, it was something else. Like, because okay. I saw a tweet, and they said, Ant-Man and Wasp's coming soon, and I was like, whoa, what?
No, man.
I didn't even know that was coming. Didn't see it coming, ironically. So, yeah, Ant-Man and Wasp, the sequel to Ant-Man. I'm kind of excited about it. I really enjoyed Ant-Man. Was it my favorite Marvel movie? No. Still, Captain America, the first Avenger, was still my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what happens with this character. They did a great job introducing Ant-Man. I think that his powers are a little gimmicky, and I didn't know how well they would work on screen. But they did a great job, and I really liked the character. We were introduced to the character who eventually would become the Wasp,
yes.
New Wasp. So I'm very excited to see her in action, to see what she does. And Ant-Man and Wasp.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, because when I first heard about Ant-Man, I'll admit, I was kind of on the fence about it.
Right.
Because I wasn't sure how they were going to pull it off, but the way they did it. The way they did the first movie was like, okay, all right, I'm sold on this guy. And, of course, again, his having Pym be sort of like the mentor this mm-hmm. time around was pretty good. Even though, obviously, we found out that, he too had donned the suit way back when.
Right.
And, of course, his daughter obviously had done some training of her own to prep for that role. But I like the idea of it being more small scale. And literally and figuratively, and having it also be a little bit of a redemption arc for Scott Lang and his little hero's journey, if you will.
And that had some really classic characters in it too. You know,
yeah, really did.
Some of his friends. It had a very heist.
Yeah, it really did. And of course, who can forget Michael Peña, his character Luis. And just his little narration thing.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean,
could watch a whole movie with
that. Yeah, I know. And here's the thing. There was this one YouTuber who said that they should have him kind of narrate the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe leading up to, from Iron Man up to Infinity War. And it's like, seriously, Marvel Studios, get to work on that because people would pay money just to see that alone. I mean, cause the way he does it is just, and again, credit to Michael Peña for doing that because it's I mean everything about the film is great but just having those little that little nugget just only it made the film much better.
No, I agree and I can't wait to see what they do with the characters. I can't wait to see how they evolve the characters and change them and it's going to be really interesting. Now, the last movie is not a Marvel movie.
No,
the
it's
last
not.
Movie is a Star Wars movie. We're going to have a Star Wars movie very very early this year.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know how Disney is going to juggle all these movies because we've got Black Panther coming out in February.
Yeah.
We have Avengers coming out in May. Possibly Solo will be coming out in sometime in the summer as well.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, of course, Ant-Man and Wasp coming out in, I believe, June or July. I can't remember at the top of my head. But so Disney's got a lot to juggle. So Solo. Solo. Star Wars Story. Solo is the official title. Solo, a Star Wars Story. I'm very excited to see what happens.
Yeah, me too. I'm pretty sure you had heard of the director shakeup.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Ron Howard.
Yeah,
I think Ron Howard is a very good director.
Yeah, he is.
The irony is that Ron Howard was in one of George Lucas's first films, so that's irony. That's ironic.
Yep.
But you know, and he's directing this film. I one of my favorite Ron Howard movies has to be How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I always love that movie.
Yeah.
You know, he did a great job with that.
Yeah, I love that film. And of course, Apollo 13.
Apollo 13. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yes, Ron Howard directed that one too.
Yeah.
So I feel he's a great director. I feel that he could probably bring a younger Han Solo to the film, to the screen. We know we're going to get young Han Solo, a young Lando, younger Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Well,
Chewie looks the same anyway.
Right.
Wookiees live longer.
Right. So, so we know we're going to get all that. So I'm very, very excited about all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, although, I mean, granted, I mean, I know that for those of us who had read, Legends or the now Legends, books, we know bits and pieces. We already know quite a bit about Han's original or, well, initial background. I mean, we know he did, he was originally like an Imperial officer or something like that.
Right.
And that he
that
had
Legends, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how he ended up meeting Chewie. I don't know if they're going to go with that same route.
I don't think so, but then I could be wrong. So, I don't know. We'll
see. I just want a very good film.
Yeah,
and, and again, this is Han Solo we're talking about. I mean, I know we'll never see Harrison Ford be Han again, but still, you know, I mean.
Well, we are seeing, because this is going to be the second Solo film.
Oh, yeah.
First one being Rogue One.
Of course.
And then, of course, now we've got Solo. You know, Rogue One hit it out of the park.
Yep.
They did a great job. And now we're going to see what they do with Solo. And I'm excited to see what they do with it. I know that this movie may have a slightly more comedic tone, and that's fine. That's okay. As long as it's, I feel as long as it doesn't get too comedic, I think it'll still be okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that comedic. And
right.
I think that was part of the reason why the original directors were let go, because they were trying to give it like this comedic vibe. I don't know, which I don't think works for the character, because yes, Han Solo does have a sarcastic sense of humor. But to me, going in a super comedic route is not a good way to go.
Yeah.
Because in a way, and I think I had heard one time that they were kind of treating it almost like, kind of like a Western type thing, which
that'd be really cool.
Which makes sense, given...
I would love that. I would love them to do kind of a Western kind of vibe, and I think that's a great idea, too.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's where they're going to go, but we'll know, but again, we'll know when the trailer hits.
Yeah, we'll see, and the rumor is that we're probably going to get the trailer for the Super Bowl, so... As of the recording of this, that's the rumor. So, hey, let's...
Here's open.
Then we can watch the football and see them get a slam dunk or whatever.
I want to watch my football.
Yeah. anyways. Now, like I said earlier, we don't really know of any anime or manga or anything coming out this year that we want to... that we are excited to see. However, we did want to talk about a few series... we're excited about, and pretty much they all have a theme. They're all done by Rooster Teeth.
Yes.
So first of all, let's get this out of the way. Ruby Volume 6 is coming out this year. They have announced that earlier this year. I'm excited for Volume 6. Volume 5, as of the recording of this, just ended. I really liked Volume 5. It brought a lot to the table. Character-wise and world-wise, and finally our heroes got a win after a very long time. I won't exactly spoil anything for you, but our heroes finally got a win after losing a lot. You know, I'm very happy to see where we go on from here. Volume 6 is going to be really cool. Also, coming soon is going to be, as of the recording of this podcast... is Ruby Chibi. For those of you who've never know nothing about Ruby Chibi, I have talked about it on the show before, but Ruby Chibi is more of a comedic version of our Ruby characters. A lot of animes do this, where they kind of have the usual anime, but then they do a separate series or just like little shorts where they make the characters a little cutesy and they just kind of make fun of things and just make it a little bit more comedic. A lot of animes do this, and so they decided to do it with Ruby. I love it. The first two seasons are hilarious. Absolutely, I was crying at parts because it's so funny. They make fun of themselves. They make fun of things that happened in the first couple seasons. Hmm. It's really not connected to the original Ruby at all. It's just a fun time, and I can't wait for series three. I can't wait to what to do with the characters this season. It's a little bit more comedic and a little more Looney Tunes, if you will, as opposed to Ruby, which is completely serious. You got Ruby Chibi, which is a little bit more comedic,
right?
Because Ruby itself has become more of a more serious tone from the first couple of volumes. Character wise, it makes sense for the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, people still kind of miss that humor and stuff, and that's what Ruby Chibi is there for.
Right.
So. All right, and then, of course, one more thing from Rooster Teeth that we are going to talk about. After the end of Volume 5, at the very end, Rooster Teeth announced two animated series that they're doing. Norman from Nowhere, which is one, and then the other one was called Genlock. I don't know a whole lot about this series yet. We just saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
Both of us did. All I know is that some of the creators and writers at Rooster Teeth are huge fans of mech anime. Mm-hmm. So stuff like Gundam and Gurren Lagann and I'm trying to think of ones off the top of
Mobile Suit Gundam
and you have
Robotech
and you have I'm trying to think of the one that I kind of like.
Escaflowne.
Yeah, Escaflowne is another one. Eureka 7.
Yes.
I don't know. What was the one I liked? Oh, come on. I can think of it. Oh, Full Metal Panic. So these are, like, very well-known mech animes. They're going to try their hand at their own mech anime, and it's called Genlock. Now, we saw the trailer for it. Really doesn't give us much in the way of... We are introduced to the main character. We realize that he's a special person. We don't know why.
But we're told that he's special.
He's a special person, and you can't see me doing it, but I am air quoting here. So he is a special person. We don't know anything about the mechs or the suits or how they work, or we know that there's a team that goes around this main character, which makes sense because they know how to do teams. It looks cool. What did you think?
Well, just the few little bits that I saw, okay, it's got my attention, something different. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, the only thing that put a little caution sign in my head is they said that this was going to be a little bit more adult than Ruby. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but I really like the fact that Ruby is a little bit more all ages than a lot of the stuff on Rooster Teeth. I'm kind of sad that they're not keeping that going, but at the same time, who knows? This might be a really, really cool anime. I'm very excited to see it and see more about it. So we'll probably update you as we go along. And one last thing I want to talk about real quick. I wanted to review this real quick. And so I am reviewing the Ruby manga. It just came out recently. I want to give thanks to my friend Daniel at the Reasons I'm Broke podcast because he gave me the heads up on the date. Now, I knew this was coming out. I just didn't know the date for it because they kept pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. My thoughts on it, it is a really great book. It's a very good read. A little boring for those of you who are big Ruby fans and wanted something new, maybe something that you didn't see or didn't already know. Fortunately, that's not what you see here. But it's still cool. I still like it. There are some things in here that are pretty neat. For the most part, most of the stuff that they show is pretty much stuff that we've seen before from the trailers, from, just in-between stuff. There is a little bit of a story near the end. We get a Grimm that we didn't see before. That's really interesting. So other than that, you know, the book is very standard. Now, however, if you have never watched the show before, I would highly suggest reading this manga. It is a really good introduction to the characters, to the world. It's a very, very good introduction. So if you're not sure if you would like Ruby, and you wanted to get a little bit, you know, you wanted to kind of try it out, I would highly suggest this book. One of the biggest parts of this book that I love the most is the artwork. The artwork is phenomenal. The fight scenes, the choreography, the characters look great. It's a really, really, really good manga to read, and I can't wait to see more. So this is published by Viz Media, and you can go to your local comic book store and you can order this if they don't already have it. I know that they've been selling off the shelves, so.
Support your local comic book shops.
Yeah, so very, very cool. Very, very enjoyed it. So that is my review for Ruby. By the way, as of the recording of this podcast, Viz Media did announce that they are bringing out an anthology series manga that's going to be coming out for Ruby, and it's going to be each of the individual characters, like a manga specifically for that character. So that's going to be really cool. And then we start with Ruby, of course, and that will be coming out later on in the summer. All right. Now, speaking of Ruby, I think it's time to jump into our discussion. We're going to have a quick discussion. Like I said earlier in the podcast, this was something we didn't really plan on doing, but we just thought it was so good that we couldn't not do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We could not do it.
No.
So we both love two shows that are very similar in tone, I would think. So again, I like Ruby. He likes Voltron. And we've been bugging each other to watch the show for almost more than a year. Finally, we sat down and we did this thing where I watched an episode, he watched a couple of episodes, because again, Ruby is very short in the first season, so he had to watch a couple of episodes, and then I watched another episode, and then he watched another couple episodes, and we went back and forth. Now, Danny has only seen half of the first volume, okay? He hasn't seen the whole thing. I have only seen the first three episodes of Voltron, okay? And I feel like what we saw was very much similar.
Establishing
the characters and getting them their first fight and, you know, stuff like that.
And getting them to come together as a team, basically, right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop talking. I want you to talk about Ruby. First of all, we started off with the trailers.
Yes.
Okay, because for those of you who don't know Ruby, to introduce the show, they did four separate trailers introducing the four main girls.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of get you an idea of what the show is going to be like. So after seeing the four trailers, what did you think?
I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, just there's something very distinct about each and every single one of the characters that's uniquely their own. Neither one's a carbon copy of the other. But yet, because of that, to me, I'm really interested in seeing how each of those specific skills and personalities can coincide or kind of like mesh with all the other characters to see how that brings out their teamwork. And so that really got my attention. And especially their weapons. My gosh, I mean, if you could imagine having one weapon that can become all sorts of different things. I mean, holy smokes. I have to admit, I mean, of all the weapons, I have to say I like Ruby's the most, simply because again, it's a scythe weapon, but it also works as a sniper rifle.
And a shotgun.
I mean, it's like you got three in one. So it's like, okay, so basically you said you got your close quarters combat weapon, you got your ranged weapons. I mean, come on. And even so, and then of course when we got to the first couple of episodes, I'm just like, wow. And because again, up to this point, I had not seen Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to get a chance to see this whole thing and how the characters get introduced and how they start to come together, you know, and even then, and not just them, but even some of the, I don't know if you can call them secondary characters.
I'd say ancillary.
Yeah, ancillary. Yeah.
Ancillary characters.
Yeah, but even the ancillary characters, there's something very interesting about each of them as well. Even the ones that you kind of make you go, do we really need to see this person? You know, but they each...
Sean!
Yeah, exactly. Sean of Arc. sorry. Sorry, apparently my allergies are getting the best of me tonight.
That's so exactly what you thought, though. I... I thought the same thing too when I first.
He kind of reminded me.
But he grows on you.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of another character that, you know, we'll discuss on, from another show that you saw today.
Okay.
But again, like you said, he does tend to grow on you. And while I've only seen the first couple of episodes, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how this team develops.
Okay.
Because already right away, you know, you can tell that at first, Ruby and was it Weiss?
Yes.
Yeah, Ruby and Weiss, let's just say, oil and water.
Are
like oil and water, yeah. To say that they don't get off on the right foot would be an understatement, because it's just like, it's like one thing after the other, you know. I mean, Ruby's at least trying to make friends, even though at first she was kind of like not so keen on the idea. Weiss, on the other hand, just seems, I don't know, a little bit stuck up at times.
She is. She's really stuck up. At the beginning, yes.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm hoping that, you know, that she does get to thaw out a little bit. You know, because...
Well, she is the, they don't call the ice queen for nothing.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. So hopefully they're able to get through their differences. And like I said, because I'm just starting out, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
And I think it's really cool because you didn't know anything about Ruby going into it.
Now, no.
I talked about a few things, but nothing spoilery. So you knew nothing about it. You knew nothing about these characters. You knew nothing about it. I did give you a few facts as we were going on.
Yeah.
Like the fact that each character is designed after a fairy tale character.
Yeah.
Or is a reference to something pop culture.
Yeah.
For example, Roman Torchwick, one of the villains in the show, he's supposed to look like the character from, and I've never seen the movie before, but The Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's supposed to look like the main villain, he's supposed to look like the main character from that show. But yeah, I love the characters, and you actually, the other thing about Ruby is eventually, right after they introduce the characters, they start introducing the world a little bit more, and you get to learn a little bit more about the world and how it is and how it works, and even the world itself is a separate character that is very interesting and intriguing. So who is your favorite character?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's kind of a tie between these two characters, and it would be between either Ruby or Yang.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's the same for me.
Yeah, oh wow, okay. Well, you know, hey, look, great minds think alike. And now, so, yeah, but yeah, so, I mean, hey, look, the reason why is because, the one thing, Ruby herself, she definitely has that vibe of just being like, you know, clearly she has a heart of gold. And clearly she, at least in combat, for the most part, she knows how to handle herself. Of course, she does seem a little, what's the word? Was it introverted or introverted or extroverted?
You know, kind of a little bit. She's a little introverted.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that she's kind of a little bit, like, she kind of prefers to kind of keep to herself a little bit. She's a little bit reluctant, or maybe not reluctant, but a little bit kind of awkward when it comes to making friends for the first time.
Right.
But once you get past that, then she's all right. She does tend to come across as being a little bit headstrong at times.
Yes.
But at least you know it's within good reason, and she does try to kind of, maybe she doesn't go completely recklessly in.
Okay.
But she does at least try to give it some thought.
Okay.
And of course, granted, she has her moments of awkwardness, which is perfectly fine, because again, we've all been there.
Oh gosh, we all have.
Yeah. Now Yang. Okay. Now
Yang. Well, why do you like Yang? Let me hear this. I want to know
why. I don't know. I mean, I think it's because of the fact that, you know, she's got these really cool looking gauntlets.
Oh yeah.
That not only that again is basically can not only bring the fight up close and personal, but they. Both in terms of fisticuffs, but even in the fact that they work like shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also got this really spunky, you know, bubbly personality
yes.
that contrasts quite a bit with her sister Ruby.
Uh-huh.
But yet, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It just works somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it just, she's obviously the kind of person that you could easily go, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, like
she's definitely the opposite of her sister. She's very comfortable in her own skin. You know, she's very extroverted and very confident in herself.
Yeah.
And I really love Yang. I also, because I'm the older sibling and Yang is the older sibling, I kind of I kind of have, like, this... I know what she's going through a lot of times. Yeah. She wants to protect Ruby.
Yeah.
She wants to help Ruby out. And, you know, she's trying as hard as she can to get Ruby out of her little, you know, little hole. And,
yeah.
you know, but Ruby's very reluctant. So I understand that. And that's another reason why I like her is because... And it's a tie for me, though, between Yang and Ruby. It all depends, I guess. But you get to see both of those characters really grow as the volumes keep going. Now, let's talk about the other two main characters real quick.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious to know a little bit. Weiss. Let's talk about Weiss. Let's talk about the Ice Queen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that Ice Queen. Okay. So what do you like about Weiss?
See, that's the weird part because...
So far.
See that? Despite her toughness, she does, when push comes to shove, she definitely comes across as being the person that will definitely be there to kind of help back you up when push comes to shove.
Right.
I kind of get a sense that maybe her Ice Queen persona is kind of more of an act. I think it's, I'm of the opinion that I think it's more of a front. Or maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, that's probably the only so far redeeming good quality that I can think of. Because for the most part, she just comes across as being a stuck-up brat.
Right.
And it's just like, seriously, come on. You know, just chill out a little bit. You know? I mean...
All right.
So I
will have to say, like, all four characters are awesome. Each of them grow.
Yeah.
As you watch it more. So, yeah. But yeah, I do it. And then let's talk about Blake.
Yeah, she's a pretty interesting character. It's like she seems to have this vibe that she really seems to keep things close to the chest. In the sense that she doesn't really seem to kind of like, she's not as open. Like in comparison to Ruby, she's even less open.
Right.
And yet, even though she doesn't say too much, she definitely lets her actions do the talking.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they speak volumes. But yet, interestingly enough, she definitely has a really good moral center, or at least from what I can tell, namely because of the trailer you showed me, the Blake trailer. And because just when it seemed like her partner, Adam, I believe, it looked like he was about ready to, it looked like he was going to basically go after the passengers, the crew on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to kind of like, cut her car off from the car he was standing on, so that way he couldn't get to them.
Uh-huh.
So that goes to show that even though she may come across as being a little bit, I don't want to say cold, but definitely a little bit kind of guarded.
I would say aloof is probably a better word. She's very aloof.
Yeah, and so despite being aloof, she definitely will do the right thing.
Okay.
So I'm curious. Each of these characters are pretty curious, and I have to admit, I mean, as much as Ruby and Yang are my two favorites, I am curious about Blake to see what her backstory is and where she comes from.
Oh, you'll find out.
Okay, yeah, so...
you'll find out.
Yeah, Weiss, I just kind of want her to just chill out and not be so stuck up. I mean, come on.
Okay, let's talk about the ancillary characters real quick, and then we'll go on to my part. So, Jean Arc.
Ah, yes. The guy...
Vomit boy.
No, yeah, vomit guy, yeah. I don't know, I mean, it's like... I mean, character design-wise, he looks like a cross between Link and Cloud. And I don't know if Rooster Teeth did that on purpose.
Possibly.
Having first met him, the guy really comes across as being this really, really cocky guy who... really does not seem to back up a lot of the tough talk.
Uh-huh.
He's got some cool weapons, though to me, I think they both could use quite a bit of an upgrade. I don't know if we'll get there, but I'll find out. So, I don't know. I mean, he's got potential. Whether or not he actually reaches that potential is a whole other story.
Another matter entirely.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. But he definitely needs work. I don't know. I mean,
I'm smiling right now because I know what happens to all these characters. So.
Yeah. although I will say, in one of the episodes that I saw, there was a moment where he was able to kind of, I guess, figure something out, and he was able to kind of, I guess, work out somewhat of a plan that actually worked, uh-huh. you know, and I do hope we get a chance, I hope I get a chance to see more of that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
There's another next character that,
Pure Nikos.
Is she the...
Redhead.
Yeah, the... Oh, because I thought her name was, like, Kira or something?
No, Pura.
Pura, okay. Pura. Oh, yeah, the redhead with the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I like her, mainly because, I mean, she's really not only is she really nice, but she's got the patience of a saint in regards to John, because she's actually very encouraging to him. She doesn't really seem really all that put off by him.
Right.
And she actually kind of helps try to, you know, bolster his confidence a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, something that all the other characters really don't seem keen on doing.
Right. Well, maybe Ruby a little bit.
No, yeah. Ruby at least, you know. But the other ones don't seem all that keen on, like, okay, look, dude, seriously, either you carry your weight or you're on your own, pal. You know, that's... So, but I definitely like her. And plus, she's got a really cool weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the spear that turns into a shotgun.
I mean, that's the one thing. That's one of the many things I like about Ruby is that you got this interchangeable weapon that I almost wish I could exist in that universe just to have my own interchangeable weapon.
All right,
you know. But yeah. So she's pretty cool.
Next, Lyren.
Is she the one with the hammer?
Him.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, see. I
said that he looked like Rock Lee.
Yeah. He's pretty cool, and I like the fact that his two weapons look like those Uzi guns.
Oh yeah.
So mm-hmm. he's pretty cool, and even without his weapons, even when he doesn't have them, it's like the guy. I don't know if he's. I wouldn't say Zen, but he definitely can hold his own even without them. It's like,
yeah.
But he does in such a way to where it's so cool, calm, and collected. Uh-huh. That you have to wonder, okay, all right, does anything faze this guy? Or at least he seems to really have a cool head in the heat of battle, which is pretty cool.
Little fact that I didn't tell you until now, because I wanted to tell you on the podcast, but the original voice of Lyren is Monty Ohm, who is the creator of the show. So.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so Nora Valkyrie.
Okay, is she the one who hangs around?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure whether to call her a fangirl or his unofficial girlfriend or fiance or what, because she really has that kind of vibe, and I'm not really sure what to make of her. But, however, though, all that being said, though, at least in a fight, she definitely can definitely, you know, when it's business.
Uh-huh.
So at least there's that.
She's very hyperactive.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, seriously, you have to wonder, how many cups of... Did she drink, like, 12 cups of coffee?
No, that's all natural right there. Jeez. For Nora, that's normal.
Oh, boy. yeah, so, but, I mean, again, for all... Despite that, you know, she's okay, I mean... But she really needs to cool it with the hyper thing. I mean, I don't know. Either that or maybe she just needs to just encounter more of those creatures just to kind of burn off all that energy, you know?
I don't know if she ever will. Okay. One more character I want to bring up. Okay. And just because this is one of my favorite non-young characters. One of my favorite older characters. Professor Ozpin. What do you think of him?
He's a very... interesting character.
Okay.
And maybe it's because of the fact that he really... Maybe it's because of his eccentricity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy really comes across as really the kind of guy who may have a little bit of a past. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of past is that? I don't know. But when I first saw him, I thought, wait a minute. So they brought back Harry Potter and aged him up by several decades? You know, because that's what he looked like. But I don't know. He's very smart and knows what he's doing. But he really just has this mysterious vibe about him.
Okay.
To where you kind of are left a little bit unsure as to whether he's actually a protagonist, antagonist, mm-hmm. or really just one of those characters in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
To where, I mean, obviously, you know, he's obviously one of the heads of the school there.
Right.
But I don't know.
And you can't bribe him because he has the school, so.
Exactly. So there you go. So I'm interested in seeing where he goes.
Okay.
But again, I don't know. He's a very kind of morally ambiguous character.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, so So I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes, or where his journey goes as we go along.
There's a specific reason why I asked you for all those characters, but I can't wait to hear. Who knows, we might do a part two of this.
Yes.
Come back, maybe with you watching all of volume one, maybe volume two, and then me watching the rest of...
Yeah, since they're on iTunes, I can pretty much get them, so...
Yeah, cool. All right. So now we've talked about Ruby, and I think you did a great job. Excellent work. So now you're going to interview me.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
Okay. So now we have gone to the world of Ruby, but now we're going to take a little bit of a different trip. This time we're going to be traveling to a place from days of long ago. That's right. To the far reaches of the universe, the legend itself. Voltron, legendary defender. And so, as Josh had said, he got a chance to see essentially the rise of Voltron. That was basically the name of the episode. But as fans know who had purchased it on iTunes, they split it up back into the original three episodes, basically from... I'm blanking right now. But anyway, they split it up into the initial three episodes. Because, of course, those who have Netflix know they put those three together and put it into one episode.
Okay.
So having seen, well, first off, let's go episode by episode just to kind of just to make it easier. So we'll start with
Could I start with something else?
Like, yeah, go ahead.
I have a little bit of a connection to Voltron. When I was a kid, I actually used to watch it. Now, I was so young, I don't remember any of it. I don't remember anything. I remember there was robotic lions. That's about it.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Because, again, I had seen the reruns on Toonami.
Right.
So I
didn't even see the reruns on Toonami. I never watched it. I remember when I was a kid, I liked it. I remember for Christmas one year, I got this giant Voltron figure that split up into the different lions. And you can, like, combine them together. You know, it was like definitely like the hottest item for that year for Christmas.
Yeah.
But that's kind of that's only my personal connection to Voltron. You know, it's very similar to like Thundercats. Like I know I used to watch Thundercats when I was a kid, but you ask me anything about Thundercats, I don't know anything about Thundercats. Okay. Yeah. I know there's a guy named Lionel. I know there's the
and of course
Cheetah,
yeah, Chitara, yeah,
Chitara. I don't remember,
and of course the famous call, you know, Thunder, Thundercats, ho.
That stuff I remember, but like I can't remember anything about the show or anything about the episodes. So going into Voltron, like you, I was a little bit spoiled actually, because I actually watched one episode. One day when I was going to work, someone was watching it. And I got to see one episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really interesting. And I wasn't completely lost. You know, obviously I didn't know where these characters came from, or I didn't know, you know, how they're working, why they're working together. I didn't know anything about that. So I had a lot of questions. So I didn't go completely unspoiled out of this. Also, one big twist was actually spoiled for me thanks to me walking into a room at the wrong time. But I haven't seen anything else. Yeah. So, unlike you, who you didn't know anything about Ruby, I knew a little bit about this going in, but not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay, so going to the first episode, just to make it easier, what did you think of the introduction?
I thought it was a really good introduction. If I could make any complaint about it, it was a little quick. A little quicker. Like, I know in Ruby they took their time a little bit with each character. It just felt a little like kind of throwing you in without explaining too much.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it can get people kind of, all right, yeah, whatever, all right, I guess I have to accept this now.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get to know these characters. Now, obviously, unlike Ruby, because I know each and every one of their names.
Yeah.
I don't know each and every one of the characters' names, so you'll have to go through the list and probably remind me.
Yeah.
I did like the characters. I liked all of them, actually. I don't think there was a character I didn't particularly like.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Do you want me to tell you that? Would you like me to tell you
the names? We'll go through the list here in a minute. But after seeing the first episode, I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is really, really cool. They are taking their, you know, it's not like they're already Voltron.
Yeah.
They're not already Team Voltron. They have to come together, and you kind of learn a little bit about each character as they go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters really has a very dark past, which goes with his lion color, apparently. it's interesting to see. I like the very Star Trekian look it has. Obviously, I've heard that a lot of the writers of Avatar The Last Airbender are working on the show.
Yes.
So it does have that Avatar feel to it.
Yeah.
The animation is very Avatar. Yeah. the jokes, the animation, the cuts. There's lots of cuts and stuff that are very indicative of Avatar.
Yep.
But I do enjoy it. They really know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're balancing this team. I really think it's really kind of cool to introduce. They don't give you too much, which is something I like.
Yeah.
They don't give you too much about each character.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's why I like Ruby, is because I like to learn more about these characters.
Yeah.
You know, they introduce the characters and then just give you enough to wanting you to keep going.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they give you a little bit more as you go along.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because it gets me inquisitive. It gets me, oh, what about this? What about that? You know? So that's what I do like about the character. I do like about the show so far. Very similar to the first half of Ruby. You know, you get to meet all the characters.
Yep.
There's a lot of humor, just similar to Volume 1 of Ruby. There's lots of humor. But I think that's kind of break the ice a little bit, get you used to these characters.
Yeah.
I love the voice cast.
Yes.
The voice cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Right away, I already, I noticed the voice of Finn from Adventure Time. And,
yep.
Green Lantern.
Yep.
So from the Green Lantern series, which by the way was probably one of the best series, and I still understand why it was canceled. But we're going to move on.
Yeah.
From that. Yeah, I think the voice cast is amazing. The character designs are great.
Yep.
So far though, I know this is going to sound shocking to you.
Yeah.
I really like Princess Alora. Like, she's my favorite character in that show.
Yep.
You know, she is very, very driven to try to help people and, you know, to try to get these guys. I think that's what she says. She says, you know, they may not be the best that the galaxy has to offer, but they've what we've got. So that's what we're going with.
Yep.
You know, I like that about her. I like that she is a very driven character.
Yeah.
You know, I like her design.
Yes.
The design's really, really cool. I like that she looks human enough, but then has like just subtle differences.
Yes.
To give her just a little bit of difference between.
Yeah, it's to really give her more of that alien look as opposed to the original series in which she basically looked like.
She just looked like a human being.
Like a human being, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, as opposed to this one. There they changed her up, but holy moly. And did you notice the look when. Well, we don't know, but we'll talk about that later because there's a certain character, there's a different type of outfit that she changes into.
Yeah, the
combat suit. Did you notice the color schemes?
I noticed that there were different colors.
There's two specific ones.
Okay.
Do you know what they were?
No,
not the white.
Like,
not the white.
I know that has white. I know there was blue, and I think there was like a pink or a red.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So. So I mean, the reason why I'm saying that is because for those who had seen the original series, that version of the character also had an outfit very similar to that.
Oh, cool.
She was piloting one of the lions.
Okay.
So I don't know if that may be foreshadowing, but I guess we'll find out as we go along.
Right. I do like the fact that, very similar to the wands in Harry Potter, these lions kind of choose their riders. You know, it's not just, you know, anybody can pilot them. It's, you know, you have to be chosen by these things.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird because the main villain is trying to grab these guys and use Voltron as a weapon. But wait. They have to be chosen. He has to be chosen to use the lion.
They're
a little confusing.
Yeah, there is. We do eventually. Spoilers, but you're going to find out exactly why that's the case.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. You know, like I said, that's a little bit weird, but I can believe it enough to where I can, you know, if they bring it up a little bit later on, I'll pick it up.
And going back to what you said, in terms of the Lions choosing their pilots, they don't just choose anybody. They choose somebody who basically is, in a way, kind of a reflection of their personality.
Right.
Because even though the lions are basically machines, they are sentient.
Right.
You know, they each have their own kind of feelings and personality. I know we're talking about Pokemon. They're not Pokemon, I know. But they do have specific personalities, which Alora herself kind of, you know, made note of.
Uh-huh.
You know, how the Black Lion is essentially being the head of Voltron.
Right.
Needs a leader who's much like that.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, is much like the head. And then, you know,
the yellow lion is
being the legs.
Is the leg.
Hold it up, yeah.
You know, the Green Lion is very smart and kind of, and is always curious about new things. And so it needs a pilot like that. And speaking of the pilots, what did you think of the fact that when we first meet our initial three heroes, or would-be heroes, what did you think of the fact that their teamwork was absolutely atrocious?
I like that because, again, it's character growth.
Yes.
Obviously, if you're going to do a successful story about a team of people, they have to start off either completely hating each other and then getting thrown into a situation where they have to work together.
Yeah.
Or maybe they start off as a team, but their teamwork needs probably a little bit more help. And I like that, you know, we got our three main protagonists. One is very headstrong to the extreme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he believes he's the best and there's nobody better. I do like that. And then we got,
The cocky guy is Lance. The bigger guy is Hunk.
Hunk. Okay. Yeah. Hunk I like because he is definitely like, I guess, the heart of the group.
Yeah, he is. Not only is he the chief engineer, you know, which as you'll see in a later scene, he is also, he is the heart of the group. He really is.
He really is the kind of, like, even now I can see he's definitely going to be the heart of the group. He's also, in my opinion, very similar to Yang. He very much cares about others and sometimes cares a little too much about others that he doesn't, like, kind of think of his own safety. He just kind of, you know, thinks too much about everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, as the series goes along, we're going to see a little bit more of that. You're going to see him develop quite a bit as a character. And
I do like that.
What do you think of Pidge?
Pidge is really cool. I like the character. I wish her...
May as well say
out of the bag. Spoiler alert. Her backstory is, I can't wait to see more of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, her little story twist was spoiled for me.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt the story.
Yeah.
At all. In fact, it kind of helped because they did make a little nod to that idea, and I was like, oh my gosh!
I was just curious as to how long, because I know you can pretty much pick up on things really quickly.
Yeah.
And so I was just curious, okay, which story beats is he going to pick up on first?
So that right away, I was like, well, you know, that's pretty cool.
So what did you think about,
Red Guy?
What did you think of, what did you think of Keith?
Keith is interesting. My only problem with Keith is that they didn't really explain too much about him. I can already tell he's kind of a hothead. He's a little bit smart. He's not as, like, jump off a cliff and figure out how to not die on the way down like Lance is.
Yeah.
but he's definitely a hothead. He's definitely has an attitude.
I like that is actually a change from how he was originally, because it turns out, and even I remember watching the rerun of the original 84 series, but Keith in that one was very much a two-dimensional hero. You know, very much like, and actually a little bit by the book, and very much like, basically a real natural leader. Right. And so it's an interesting twist that they take, a different yet very interesting take that they have on him in this one, because he's not any of those things.
Right.
And it really does make you wonder if he'll actually develop into that.
Right.
And you probably figured this out, but you know when the general was talking to Hunk, Lance, and Pidge after they screwed up that training exercise.
Right.
He said that the only reason you're here is because the top
student
of your class dropped out. That was Keith.
I picked out on.
Now, do you think, based on from what you were able to see on the interactions between Keith and Lance, do you think that there really is a rivalry, or do you think maybe it's possible that Lance may have made that up?
I think Lance probably made it up. It doesn't.
Yes, and you would be correct, because it turns out yes. So his cockiness, as you already know, that it's a front, because him constantly being told, you know, you're only in this position because this other guy who was better than you, you know, scrubbed out and all of that. And so, that his cockiness really is a front.
It's really interesting to see his character, you know, and also to know because the voice actor. He does a great job.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Shada is amazing.
There are times when I can hear Finn in him, so.
Yeah.
So, if I could pick, though, my favorite paladin, I would probably say it's the Black Lion.
Shiro. Yeah, and speaking of which, what did you think of Shiro? Based on
I like him because he's not like most leaders, quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah, he really isn't.
Most leaders, you know, tell you what to do. He's very encouraging to people.
Yeah,
and I like that about him because you don't really see that often. I believe that's a big part of leadership, is not only just telling people where to go, what to do, you also have to encourage the people under your command. And I feel that's kind of something new that I haven't seen before. And I like that, especially since he has this, you can already tell that he has this kind of dark history about him.
Yeah.
That we're going to probably going to get more into as we go along.
Yeah. Because basically, I mean, again, he had already become quite the legend at the Galaxy Garrison.
Yes.
And it turns out, according to the producers, when they first, just before they put out the series, season one, he was already like 23. He was in his early mid 20s. When he graduated and went off on the Kerberos mission,
right?
Whereas everybody else, they're still in their teens.
So
he is essentially, again, as to quote Josh Keaton's new nickname, Space Dad.
Space Dad.
Yeah. So
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. But it is a real hashtag. It describes Shiro very well because he is basically the guy who's kind of running this band of teenage misfits because everybody else is in their teens.
Yeah, okay. So, I like him because, again, like I said, he's not the usual leader. He's very encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely has his moments where he's like, all right, guys, cut the funniness. We're going to go do this, blah, 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 blah. But he is very encouraging. I notice he encourages, one of the characters he encourages the most is Pidge, because I feel that he right away notices that Pidge is very, very much needs some help.
Yeah, and, especially given the fact that, you know, he was on the Kerberos mission with her father and brother.
Yes. So I'm interested to see his character.
Yeah, because it's going to be an interesting one. Because
he's definitely more mature and he has it together, if that makes sense. He has a lot of it together.
For the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, as you saw, you know, a year went by when he got captured.
Well, no. I mean, not in his backstory, but like just his personality.
Yeah.
His personality, he has it very much together.
Oh yeah.
He looks like he's very much in control of his emotions, and like a good example is like when everyone else was fighting what to do, either fight or run, instead of, you know, arguing with everyone else, he went to Princess Alora and said, listen, these are your lions. You tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to do that at all. You know, he didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah, he did.
And that shows a lot of maturity.
Yeah.
In him. And I think that's a really good quality that he has, mm-hmm. especially, you know, with all these guys who are a little bit, you know, crazier and...
Yeah, exactly.
I do like him the most. I think he's a really great character. And again, like I said, I can't wait to see more of this.
Yeah.
So,
well, before we get into the art direction, because we'll definitely get into that, and I know because you're an artist, but what did you think of how their costume, their outfits, their paladin armor suits?
Oh, no, I like that. I can mix this all together. I love the art direction. The art direction is very, very good. Nothing looks slapped together or haphazard. Everything looks really cool. All the designs, like I said, are very interesting. I like that the Earth tech looks very Star Trek, if you will. And then you get into the more other planet, otherworldly characters, and then you get more tech.
Yeah.
That looks really cool, very sleek, you know. I like that. There's a difference between technology you can see.
Yeah.
You know, I like that about the show. The art direction is great. My only problem so far for the episodes I saw, some of the CG work kind of is wonky a little bit.
Really?
Because there are moments where it looks a little weird mixed
with the 2D animation. Yeah.
It looks a little, there are moments, like sometimes it looks like spot on, looks like really, really good.
Yeah.
But then there's just brief moments of like, okay, you probably need to work on that.
Yeah.
But again, this is only the first episode, so I'm sure they probably upped their animation game and
oh yeah
and all that. But
Yeah.
But that's probably the only critique I could probably give the animation is that there are moments that the CG and the 2D look like two completely separate different things.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't mesh very, very well.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I said, that's a very small critique to this show.
Yeah.
So.
If you could pick your favorite Bay Art weapon, which one of those would you pick?
I know this is probably spoiling it, but I really like the Black Lion Shiro. I like his. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, because again, he doesn't have one, but then he doesn't have a Bay Art weapon like his friends do.
Right.
But obviously, given. What the Gaul, given that prosthetic arm he has,
uh-huh.
Yeah, he kind of doesn't need one right now.
Oh man, that is awesome! Like that, and then him just beating the crap out of all of them.
Yeah, and the fact that those are robots, meaning that you can basically go all out.
You can go all out and just that's awesome.
Yeah, I have to say, of the Bay Art weapons, I'm kind of torn between Pidge's grappling hook, which works like a buzzsaw, taser shot,
nice,
and then of course, and Keith's sword.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keith's sword is really cool, too.
Yeah.
And I like his shield, too. But yeah, I like the characters. I can't wait to see more about them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like I said, my favorite being Princess Alora. I really like that character, and I cannot wait to find out more about her.
Yeah.
And about her father, and about her people.
Yeah. And also, what did you think of Coran? Her assistant and retainer.
He's definitely there just for laughs, but I do like it. I do like him. He's definitely a great. He's one of those comic relief characters he's not, at least for the first three episodes. He's not really there for a whole lot of story.
Yeah,
but he does bring a lot of comedy relief to the show, and I do like him.
You'll definitely, as the episodes go by, you'll see more of him, and not just in comedic situations,
right? More serious situations. That's fine. You know, it's the same with Nora. Nora is a very comedic character at the beginning, and then you get to know a little bit more about her, and you know, you can see her in a little bit more serious situations.
Yeah.
So.
Now to tie it all up, we got two last questions.
Okay.
What did you think of our main baddie, Zarkon,
okay.
And of course Hagar?
All right, I'll say this. Right now, they're the generic bad guys. I don't really understand much about them as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're, you know, they're just the generic. You know, here are our villains. You know, I don't understand their. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes I believe that we as a group of people, especially in this day and age, we want everything explained to us.
Yeah.
And in some cases, that's a good thing. In some cases, I really think that's a bad thing. I think sometimes we should just accept it and move on.
Yeah, try not to be too harsh on him, folks. Again,
right.
It's only the first three. He's only seen the first three episodes.
So, but I don't really need to know, especially for these first three episodes, because it is so focused on our main characters.
Yeah.
I don't really think I need to know too much about the baddies right now. I just need to know that they are bad.
Yes.
And they need to be stopped.
Yep.
You can see that they are evil.
Yeah.
You can see that they do evil things.
Yes.
As of right now, I don't really have an opinion about them, because honestly, they don't really give me much to go on. So I just know that they are
enough.
The baddies.
Yep, fair enough.
They are the baddies. They are bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure as the series goes along, we can explain that a little bit
more.
So.
And lastly, what did you think of the music?
Okay. The soundtrack is phenomenal. Very indicative of, like, 80s music.
Yep.
It's another thing, because I just recently watched Stranger Things, which it has a very similar soundtrack, actually. Honestly, it has a very similar soundtrack. But I like the 80s vibe to the soundtrack. I love the very Tron-esque
vibe. Yes, it is very much
to
like
it. It's a great soundtrack. It really brings out the show a lot. I love that it's very dramatic. The other thing I love about both Voltron and Ruby is in a sea of really weird and cartoons nowadays, especially a lot on like Cartoon Network and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like that there's still an audience for these action, all audiences action yes. shows that take themselves seriously, not too serious, yeah. but seriously enough to where you can sit down and enjoy it with your friend, your family, with your kids, yeah. with your, you know, whatever. I that's why I like Ruby. That's why I like this Voltron show. Yeah. It's really just a show you guys can sit and enjoy together. I love that about this because also, you know, our generation
yeah.
that grew up with Voltron, you know, now gets to, you know, watch shows with kids who have never seen Voltron yeah. before, don't know anything about Voltron, yep. and now can get into these characters.
Yep.
Very similar to, like, you know, DuckTales and Teenage Mutant yes. Ninja Turtles have yes. done. You know, I'm very excited and very happy that that these shows have come back and, you know, not only just come back, but come back and, you know, reclaim their throne, if you will.
Yes. yeah. To say the least.
So, all right. To end this, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually like to do this, but let's do this just for this
okay.
episode, okay?
Okay.
On a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give the first half of Volume 1 of Ruby?
I would definitely give it a good solid 8.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and the reason...
Why not 10?
Why not 10? Well, because for one thing, I don't want to give it a 10 yet because this is just the introductory episodes.
Right.
So I'm not really all that familiar with the characters yet. However, though, I'll give it an 8 because it's a very good, strong introduction.
Okay.
You know, you really immediately, right away, I got invested in all the characters, even Weiss, for all of her ice queen attitude. For all of her cold attitude, she is an interesting character. In fact, they all are. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Okay.
So I'm leaving the two, I'm leaving it, those extra 2 points out because I want to see, because I want to be able to watch the entire series so far and then be able to be like, okay, how is the series as a whole?
All right.
So, but again, at 8 because it's a good, strong, beginning. And, I'm just curious to see how the story goes.
Okay.
And then, and if it definitely, is as good as you say it is, which I more than trust in,
mm-hmm.
then I will definitely change that to a, to a 10 or even, a 15 out of 10.
Okay. All right. So for me, Voltron,
mm-hmm.
I think I would grade it about the same. I think I'd grade it about an 8. It is very strong, like you said for Ruby, it's a very strong intro.
Mm-hmm.
Is it perfect? No. You know, it has its... Like I think the only gripe I could really give in... again, this is a very small gripe, is that it's very quick. And,
yeah.
like, I don't like... Like, they were in space before I... They got the first line and got in space before I was like, okay, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
So, but... they did slow down a little bit and got you to get these characters a little bit. Took some time
yeah.
with it. So it didn't hurt my viewing of it. You know, even though it was a very quick intro and it just
yeah.
threw you right into the wolves.
Yeah. yeah.
But learning more about it and unraveling these characters' backstories and
yeah.
getting these characters to grow, I think it's going to be really cool. And just like you, I think I would definitely recommend this
yes.
to people. Like, I would recommend both Ruby and, like, because like I said earlier, these shows are very similar in tone.
Yeah. And they both have that essence of, it's not just about one person
yeah.
now. It's basically,
it's an ensemble cast.
It's an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And how they, in a way, help form the story.
Right. And I really do believe that this is a great show for people who love both anime. You know, both these shows are
yes.
a great show for those who love anime. Ruby is definitely now an anime.
Yes, yeah.
And I believe, like I said in a previous podcast, I believe that anime is not just a... It's not just a Japanese thing now. I really believe that it is a genre now in its own right.
Hmm.
And Ruby is a good example of you know... of, you know, anime becoming now a kind of a genre instead of just a only Japanese thing. So, I do like that very, very much. And, so I can't wait to see more. Voltron is very, very cool. I would also put it on the level of anime. If you like Avatar, The Last Airbender, it is definitely a great show to watch. And, you know, because I don't think we're going to be getting any more Avatar, anytime soon.
No.
I think this is kind of a great fill-in for that, for that void that you have.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see it, to see more of it. And, yeah. So anything else you want to throw out about either Ruby or Voltron?
Nope. Other than, I am definitely going to be watching a lot more of Ruby now for sure. Especially since now that, that I know that, yeah, they are available on iTunes.
Yeah.
And definitely as movies. So yeah. So I can watch them that way.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
cool.
Looking forward to that.
All right. So let's go ahead and end this show. Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. If you want to comment about what you thought about either Ruby, Voltron, or maybe you want to suggest a show that you like that's very similar to these two shows, please feel free to leave your comments below. Again, we are part of the Arcade Archives Network. You can find us on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. It's a blog site where we celebrate everything that is nerd culture. We talk about video games and movies and, you know, manga, anime, stuff like that. We have a whole bunch of different things there. We have web comics. We have videos. We have all kinds of great stuff. So feel free to check that out. TheArcadeArchives.com. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, to share it with your friends. Make sure you give us a review on iTunes, because we really need those reviews, folks. And also, you know, please make sure to comment. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Let us know how we can improve the podcast to make it better for you. Now, if you do want to get in contact with us, if you want to get in contact with us personally, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ubernerd527. That is both Instagram and Twitter, ubernerd, UBERNERD 527. On both Instagram and Twitter. Mr. Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
All right. Well, you can find me on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. You can check out some of the stuff I've written there. And, of course, I'm also on Instagram under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And, of course, Twitter as UltraSNCPLYR9. So you can follow me there. And of course, you can visit the website. I've actually got a couple of articles in the pipeline. So stay tuned for those. And yeah, so you can find me that way.
Awesome. So yeah, thank you guys again for listening. And why don't you go ahead and take us on out there, Mr. Danny.
All right. So from all of us here at the Arcade Archives, keep playing like it's 1981. And of course, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Hey Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single month, so every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is awful.